government, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colours, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Ah, there we go. Give me a second here. Skype's playing games with me, as usual. We got something special for you. We got Pat here. We got Deacon here. But first, we got to give you a little serenade here. And it's Monday night. It's 10:30, 2023. Revolution.radio, go over there and make a donation. And I've got something, a blast from the past, and I bet you I'm going to stump Mr. Patrick on this one. Here we go.
like yours, I come from somewhere long ago. And now there's no way back, I'm lost and I feel so alone.
In the Air Age, Bebop Deluxe, the British band from the 70s, Bill Nelson, lead singer, lead guitar player. The song is about a boy who grows up to be a man, and he finds out that he does not particularly care for the life, culture, society that he has to live in now, and he wants to go back to the past. But you know what, Pat? You can't go back. You can never go back. Maybe you're on mute, I say. Maybe he's on mute. Maybe he's away. He's on mute. I see a little red microphone with a line through it. Anyway, he'll chime in there. But a good friend of mine in high school had an older sister who was a concert freak. And she, during the 70s, I mean, that's where I picked up all this stuff from. Back in the 70s, and this is one of the bands that had an album, and I think that's a good song. Pat, are you with me? Can you hear me? Okay, we're not getting anything from Mr. Rabbit. Maybe he needs to. I'm not sure where he is. We're casting live. We're from Skype tonight. We're not doing the video room because the video room's got some issues, and we're still trying to figure that out. But Mr. Pat, can you hear me? I'm not on mute. Ooh. Okay. Well, let me try to reset the call. Okay, about now? Yeah. Hello? I don't know. I don't hear Mr. Patrick. I may have to exit Skype here. Let me, I'll be right back. This. Hello. Hear me. I can see you're typing to me. Oh. Huh. I've got all the stuff that I always do for the show. Let me check again. Yeah. Yes, now. What I'll do is I'll just go ahead and my whole try to here. Let me stop my sharing here and see if you could share something to get a sound out of it. Okay. Maybe it's on your end. I'm going to reboot my computer. I'll be right back. Testicle. Okay. Testing. Studio A player on. I'm not hearing anything. Testing. Must be something with the server. Okay. We don't have any audio coming through the server. That's weird. Okay. All right, we'll just hang out then. Just mute myself until we're ready. Okay. Maybe next week then. Yeah, I'll check into it too, but I'm going to jump off here and try to reboot one more time. Well, we're getting censored probably. All right, let me try.
Test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Everything seems hunky-dory normal to me. Okay.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Patrick, can you hear me? According to the streams, I'm going out. So it has to be on your side. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Good luck figuring it out, but everything's working. I'm coming through. I can hear me on the players too. So we getting it worked out, folks. Patrick's gonna see if he can find another mic. Remember, you got to change it in your Skype settings to it, or it won't work. I don't know, it's kind of strange. Patrick's trying, folks. I don't know. Excuse me.
Hello.
There's Pony has joined us just to see us a few minutes. I don't know what's wrong with his system. It's
been buggy.
Of course, he's a musician and he messes with all them damn different equipment now, you know? I updated my computer earlier this morning and it messed my sound system all up. I had to go through and redo every bit of it.
Like Windows 2000 or something.
Oh, Windows 11, I think it is.
Yeah. I haven't updated. I won't update it yet, but how you been, man?
I'm doing.
You're doing?
Yeah. You just wake up each day. It's a good day.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, no, just calling in. Wanted to support you, join you. Say what's
hello,
up.
Hello, hello. Hello,
there, there he is. Now you got it.
Now, that's weird. You know, that's very strange. I switched the input. I don't understand why the right input would not be working. I just moved it to the left input. Well, goddamn.
Did you update your computer?
I refreshed Skype. That's not really updating it, but
yeah.
Well, I can call.
I updated mine this morning. It messed my sound system completely up, and it took me like 4 hours to finally get it all worked back out again.
That's the weirdest thing.
I got a bunch of different stuff. I got virtual kale. You do got the same thing, I'm sure.
Well, I've been using the 48 volt phantom power in the right input, but that shouldn't matter because it's working fine with my condenser mic. So, I've been recording with it all day long and it's going perfectly into the recording app. And so, well, okay. So here I am. So maybe now I can call Deacon back and we can get something done.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and drop off here.
Okay, thanks, Ed. I appreciate it.
And
I seen you in the
chat there saying I can't be heard, so I figured I'd check it out.
Very weird. So, very, very weird.
Go for it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's see. Ed, wait. Come on, you. All right. Now, I need to add somebody. No. Okay, I have the server. Now, since I have the server, I need to get that. No, I don't want that. All right. Now. Yeah, the thing is, Ro, the right input I've been using with my condenser mic, and it's working perfectly. Perfectly. So I got my ribbon mic into the left input right now, and I'm going to see if I can't add Deacon. Since I'm still on the call, I never hung it up, so I should be able to add Deacon, but I don't now see where I can add anybody. What the hell? Come on, God damn it. Maybe later. Tell you what, I'm just going to hang the bastard up and redo it. Let's see. I'll have to call it. That's why. All right. Okay. Now, let me see if I can get Deacon. I got to find him in my list. He drops way down, and I don't know why. Okay. Now, let's see. See if we can get him to answer. He might have just took his toys and went home. I don't know. Deacon? Ring, ring, ring. One ring-a-ding-a, two ring-a-ding-a. That's very weird. The second, the right input that I was using should have been working just fine. I don't know why it would not be. That is very, very weird. I'm looking at all my interface settings and... Okay, he might not answer. He may have, I don't know, taken a powder and went to bed on these cold winter nights. What we got there? 40 millimeter. 10 millimeter, I mean, 40 calibers. Da 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 da. Okay. Deacon, you're going to answer? I guess he just got mad. I guess he just decided to. Maybe it has to do with Skype and the fact, can anyone hear me? Because I'm going to troubleshoot something. I'm going to spitball something here. It may be due to Skype and its narrowed bandwidth sound-wise, like it's working at 8-bit. Maybe that's 8-bit interleave, so it's 16-bit stereo, which is okay. That's CD quality. But considering it's doing that, it may be because it's doing that, we have to, in any given case, use the left input. Maybe I wasn't using my condenser mic. Maybe we have to use the left input in this case, because the left input defaults to the main input when your setup is a two-input situation, especially if you're in mono, right? And so because of that, okay, now I'm going to try something. Hang on, I'm going to change mics, and then I'm going to turn everything down, and I'm going to kick on the phantom power. And look, here's a warning for you, just so you know. If you're ever dealing with condenser mics and you're using phantom power, 48 volts, direct, DC, bam. If you're ever using that and you have to turn it on, make sure that every knob you have, every gain control you have is turned all the way down, because you do not want 48 volts DC popping through your speakers. It can pop the speakers right out of their cabinets and shred the cones. Then you're stuck with no speakers till you replace the cones or the speakers. So that's just a piece of advice. Now let me see if my little theory is correct here. I'll be right there. Okay, now I'm talking through my good condenser mic. Can you hear me now through the condenser mic? No, can you hear that? Okay, good. Then we're all set. That was the deal. I will probably be a hell of a lot louder on this mic than I was on the mic I was a second ago, because these condensers really kick ass. Okay, well, yeah. Yeah. Now I can talk. Bam! All right, well, let's see, because I'm so used to, you know, we're sitting here and we're playing YouTubes and things like that, and we can still talk music, but I don't have anyone to talk music with. It's the problem. Okay, thank you, Cat Dog Girl. Okay, good. This is my best condenser mic. I had one that was a little more expensive, but I sold it about 8 years ago, sad to say. It was nice. It really was nice. But this is $1,000 right here. Back in 2002 when I got it. 2003 when I got it. Yeah. So I've had this mic 20 years and it was $999 in 2003. So we're 20 years down the line. And actually, what happened, sad to say, is Logitech bought out the blue Marquee, the Blue franchise, and that's BLUE. They make the Yeti mic, Blue did, and they make a lot of other really nice mics. That stands for Baltic Latvian Universal Electronics, BLUE. And there was this Latvian engineer and an American musician got together, and they started it. And then in 2018 or so, Logitech bought it. Unfortunately, because what they did is they've made Blue very hard to find, the better mics. And there are like $5,000 mics that Blue makes. And they're really concentrating on gaming, and they've got the Yeti for you for like $150 or $200, depending upon the model you get. And I see that as a step in the wrong direction, quite honestly, because this is a beautiful franchise. And if you go to Sweetwater, you can still get several of their mics. But I notice a lot of them are not up, and I'm hoping that, you know, they're just not trying to sell old stock. And then once that clears, well, that's going to be the end of it. And that'll be a tragedy if you ask me, because these are really good microphones. Of course, there are many other good microphones, too. But this has always been their flagship, the one I'm talking through now. It's called the Blueberry, the Blue Blueberry. And it's a very classy looking microphone, and it's Class A, discreet. And it's got a transformer. You see these Neumann mics, and they're all labeled TLM. What that means is transformerless. I don't like mics without transformers. I like heavy transformers in my mics. I'm just weird that way. It adds a bit more beef, a bit more meat to the general sound, which is good, I think. Of course, no one's going to say that Neumann mics aren't good. Don't get me wrong, but I just prefer that, you know. So I'll always go for that. Like, I go for an Audio-Technica 4047 instead of a 4040, which is, of course, Greek to you, I realize. But these are just, you know, this is musical talk, because that's what we do, and it's what we deal with in the industry, and especially if you're recording. Because I really got into recording seriously around 2001, early 2001. Right as 2000 turned into 2001. And I had my Tascam 8-track digital, and then I started learning. And once you start learning, something nasty happens. You start realizing what you don't have that you want, and then you proceed to get it if you're able to. So I've collected quite a bit of equipment over the years that now, as I record, I don't even use. Because everything I do is right inside the box, inside the computer. The technology has come forward so far now that it's just the way it's done, and it's worth it. That's what happens. So, well, okay. I'm just mulling over what I might do. I could play a YouTube or so, or I should Skype Deacon and tell him I worked it out. Let's see if we can get him. I worked the problem out. It was a weird little glitch thingy that has to do with inputs and which to use in a limited situation. So dingy dingy dingy. I guess Dave's not home, right? Yeah, okay. No, I still record. I have not played guitar in over a month. Because I've just been playing fiddle. I picked the fiddle up and I just ain't put it down. I'm really obsessive, is what I do. And I get into certain things. Of course, I get my acoustic guitar. I use that to do backing tracks for things that I'm trying to play. But I'm, you know, And I always had this theory. I don't think we're going to have bumpers tonight. Huh. Oh, well. I have this idea, this theory. You see, like the older you get, the less cool you look when you're trying to do stuff that, at least at one time, we did when we were younger. I don't know if I can say younger people are doing it now. Some are, but I don't know what's happening with the music world anymore. It's kind of, I don't know, everything's going crazy right now. Everything is in some kind of a weird limbo. But it seems to me that the older you get, you look better with a fiddle in your hands than you do with a guitar. Besides, there's another reason, too. If the power goes out, all you're going to have are your acoustic instruments. And I got a little banjo, a little pony banjo, 5-string. I got the pony one because the neck is just short enough so that I can restring it into a tenor and play Irish tenor banjo on it and then don't deal with the little 5th string. And then I got the acoustic guitar. And that actually has a pretty good sound for recording. Well, let's do something about that. Yeah, well, no, it's here. Watch. See there. It's there. And then I got the fiddle. I would like to get another fiddle. I did have 3 fiddles, but back in 2014 or so, I was desperate for money in the worst kind of way. And I sold some things that were just tragic to sell. I mean, just awful. I try not to think about it. It's that bad. And, well, at least I got a hurdy-gurdy back, a good one. So I got 2 Gurdies, but I got a good Hungarian Gurdy right now, Tech Carolant. And then I don't have my harp. I kind of traded the harp for the Gurdy. That's okay. I don't need the harp that bad. String harp, not harmonica. And then I got my acoustic guitar. But if you really want to wail, there ain't nothing better for laying lead lines out like a fiddle. There's nothing better, really. A guitar, yeah, but you got to plug it in and turn it up. You got to gain it out for it to get that singing sustain that you just have naturally with the fiddle. So I've just been trying to get my technique back in shape. And because I've played a lot of it. I fiddle all through France twice. And I took my fiddle to Ireland, but I wasn't playing with the group in Ireland. And then but I was. 2 tours in France, and then Nova Scotia, Cape Breton Island. That's a hotbed of some incredible fiddling. And then Kentucky, Berea, which is an incredibly cool place in Kentucky. I strongly suggest you go there. There's a college, Berea College, and it is the final word on all things Appalachian, in fact. It's right on the western edge of the eastern Kentucky hills. As you go east, you'll start seeing it get hilly, and you'll see the coal mining trains coming through and everything. And you know you're in the Kentucky hills with Bigfoot. And then there's a number of states where the mountains go through, and the entire state of Georgia, for whatever reason, the entire state of Georgia is considered Appalachia. These are things I've picked up in my literary travels, in my reading, my studying, and my searching out for answers about things. And it all comes together, you know, because if I'm reading about Appalachia, it's because I'm thinking about the fiddling that I love. There's a big difference between bluegrass and old time. Bluegrass is new. Bluegrass ain't any older than the 50s. Maybe the 40s, some could argue. I don't know. Bill Monroe. and these people, and they were in like Western Kentucky, which really is kind of outside of Appalachia now. But the difference, first off, bluegrass came from old time music. The old time canon is huge. Tremendous amount of tunes. And bluegrass is performance music. You get up there and you play things at a ridiculously, almost comically fast speed, for reasons unknown to me. Mostly to kind of point at yourself and say, hey, look how cool I am. Look how hot, look how good I can play. It's sort of that whole thing. It's a real class A type thing. And then you get to where bluegrass came from, which is old time music. Rather than performance music, old time is dance music. Huge difference. I'd far rather play, personally, I'd far rather play for dancers. Because you get this loop going between you and the dancers. And it's really great. It works. It's nothing new. Goes back centuries and centuries. Goes back to the British Isles. Even to the continental part of Europe. But you get old time. It's amazing. There's in fact a couple of books that I still want to get. I ain't got yet, and I still hope I can get them. They're like $100, but damn, the content is huge, and I've got a lot of content anyway. But if you want an orchestra, if you want a flat out orchestra, you get a fiddle and an open back banjo. And that is massive. That's like Cream with Marshalls plugged in. That's all you need, man. You can knock it out that way. And the energy is just fantastic. And you can amp it up. You can take any of this stuff and play into a microphone or get a fiddle pickup on your instrument and do it that way. Hey. So you can make it real loud if you want. That ain't no problem. But old time doesn't go as fast. It's a little more sensible because people can't dance that fast, number one. Number two, it just makes sense. It's a little more reasonable, I'd say, when you look at it. It's definitely what to do. So, yeah, I'm still stuck over in Ireland, mostly Ireland and Scotland, with my fiddling. God, there's so much music from there. It's insane. You can drive yourself crazy, and you can just run yourself way too thin. You can stretch yourself so thin you ain't good at anything. You can't play every one of them. There's that many. Hundreds and hundreds of reels and jigs and hornpipes and slip jigs and slides and set dances. Long dances, barn dances, lancers, the Scottishes, and then all the Scottish music, because all the Scottish music kind of seeped down into Donegal, Northern Ireland, and into Ulster, too. And a really cool thing that I've been noticing, first, let me draw your attention to a really great fiddler, if you ever want to check him out. His name is Cathal Hayden. C-A-T-H-A-L, Cathal Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N. And he's an Irish fiddler. He is from County Tyrone, which is in Northern Ireland. It's in Ulster. It's Donegal is part of the Republic, but it's in Northern Ireland. That's, Ulster is the northern province of the four ancient provinces. There's Ulster, there's Leinster, there's Munster, and there's Connaught. And some had me, but that's M-E-A-T-H. But that's just part of Leinster, really. That was a fifth, though. Back in the ancient Gaelic days. People would go up into Scotland and work. And bring the music back. And they would bring Scottish music back. But it was their own. The Donegal style is all its own. Strongly Scottish influence. But back to Capel Hayden. He's from Tyrone. And Tyrone is kind of insular. Insulated, I guess you could say. Yeah. There's you got to look real hard in Tyrone to find any sort of original tradition, like you have the Donegal tradition in Ireland, and you have the Sligo tradition, then the Clare, especially the East Clare tradition. Then you have the Slieve Lucra tradition, which is down in Munster, Kerry Cork border. But if you get into Tyrone, what happened is so many of the fiddlers there, they just listened to Sligo fiddlers, as did the rest of the world. Everybody was listening to Michael Coleman and Paddy Killoran and James Morrison back in the 20s and 30s. And before you know it, everybody was thinking, well, this is Irish fiddling. No, it was part of Irish fiddling. It was one tradition, but not the whole thing. And that, you know, it's got its good points and its bad points, and it's been a long story and a long way down the road since then. But that's where things started getting weird, and everybody in Tyrone would listen to these guys, and they would, we would just copy all the Sligo fiddlers. And Sligo fiddling is good. Some of the best fiddlers, you know, listen to Kevin Burke. Whoa. I guess he still lives in Portland, Oregon. Lived there for ages, but he's Irish. He's from London, but God, he's good. Played with the Bothy Band, and Tommy Peoples is from Donegal, but he could play in many styles. But some of your best fiddlers, Frankie Gavin, the fiddling is amazingly good. It's very complex. You look at the technique, the ornaments. So that's the problem in Tyro. They were all listening to Sligo fiddlers. So what happened is these guys wrote this book called The Northern Fiddler. And they really did some hard looking. And they started to dig up, no pun, no, they were still alive. They started to dig up some of the guys who were pretty much affected by the oldest Tyrone traditions. And this is where it gets interesting. Northern Ireland is a place where so many people from England, and England has a rich musical tradition too, along with Scotland and Ireland. Everybody kind of went to Northern Ireland, and they were kind of known as the Scots-Irish and all this, but there would be English, the plantation of Ulster. Read some Irish history, you'll get it. And so there was all this fiddling was brought in from other places, from England. And a lot of the Scotch-Irish traveled to America, and then they're the ones that, along with the English, started up the Appalachian old-time traditions. And if you get to some of the oldest Tyrone players, the guys who wrote the book, The Northern Fiddler, said that their fiddling is so archaic in many respects that it resembles what you hear in the Appalachian fiddling, which can also have some very archaic sounds, especially with the tendency to cross-tune. And you do that to harmonize with yourself better, to make the fiddle give you more because you're making it play drone notes that work with the key of the song and everything. So Ulster, maybe Tyrone too, is kind of like a clearinghouse, a grand central for all these fiddle styles. Irish, English, Scottish, what have you. American. And up in Tyrone, there is this folk park, this American folk park. It's like I forgot the exact name of it, but there's this Appalachian folk park that demonstrates all the traditions of Appalachia and how close they are and where they came from, which is where they did come from, was Ireland and England and English Ireland, like Northern Ireland, so to speak. Oh, God, I wish I'd had, like, you know, 3 months to spend in Ireland. That way I'd really gone to all parts of it and seen what it was like. They say it's rough crossing the border into Northern Ireland. All kind of soldiers with guns and everything, you know. Yeah, they don't want no monkey business. They're not playing around. I was in Ireland in 1998. And I came back in just a couple weeks after I got back. It was in Northern Ireland. It was in Omagh. The Omagh bombing. And that was awful. That was god-awful. This is, you know, the IRA and all this bullshit. And it's just really too bad all that goes on. But so it is. So there's a lot of feeling there. I was in a bar in Kiltimaa. And the guy, you know, the guys, bartender, friends, people I was talking to, we were talking, the subject got brought up, you know, typically known as the Troubles. And it's a nasty, bad history. You need to read it to really understand just how it's gone. The years in Belfast and all this and the IRA and bombs and people dying and everything, you know. They asked me what I thought of it, and I said, well, it ain't my fight. I ain't got nothing to say about it. I mean, I did say, well, I do kind of sympathize with the Republic here, but still, it's not mine to say anything about it. But I had a good time playing in pubs, meeting people, playing with them, getting too drunk. Getting too drunk to play. I don't drink anymore. No. Oh, I could do it, though, back in the day. When I was in Ireland, I drank more cider than I drank Guinness, as a matter of fact. It's a good cider there, let me tell you. There's so much to traditional music. There really is. I've made a pretty good study of it going into England and then across the channel into France. And down here where I am, we have Cajun music. And if you tell anybody where you are, odds are they're going to bring up something about Cajun music. And the truth of the matter is, I don't play Cajun music. I don't even particularly like it. It's okay. You know, I ain't enough Cajun. I'm maybe like 1/16th Cajun. That's not enough, you know? I'm a heck of a lot more British Isles. So. But if you get to France, the French music, and it's fiddles and hurdy-gurdies and this insane bagpipe they call a cabrette, which means a little goat, and it's ungodly loud. Oh, Lord. But they have their own particular tradition, and it don't sound nothing like Cajun music. Cajun is French, but it's because of the people in Acadie, which is Acadia in Nova Scotia, who were driven out by the British starting 1765, and pretty much most of them went to Louisiana. Some of them went other places, some around Baltimore, strange to say. And they were not a particularly literate society. There were a lot of good people, and they didn't come from Normandy, like you hear said. No, they came from Poitou, which is south of Normandy, more central in France, north central, kind of west. And most of them, you had some of them coming from all over the place. And some of them went into Canada, and then there was already French in Canada too, settling in Quebec and everything. But no, they came down to Louisiana, because Spain, which still owned Louisiana then, ceded a lot of land to them and said, here, we'll give you shovels and building materials and you can settle down and help the economy. And that's just exactly what they did. And I guess they had their music up there. We don't know a whole lot about it. And then what happened is now you see Cajun music. The thing is, the Cajuns ran into a whole lot of Germans on the German coast of the Mississippi, just north between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and also other places too. And the Germans bestowed the accordion on them. That means that the Cajuns didn't have an accordion when they came down here. They just played fiddles. And there is nothing cooler than to hear three good Cajun fiddlers, just fiddles, and singing with some like drums or, whatever. You're beating on a log, or you got your a tifere, which is what a little triangle is. Petite, little, fair, iron, little iron, tifere. It's a triangle. And that's about what they had. And then there was a lot of singing, I think. And then it just kind of caught on and grew and grew. And it assumed this insane popularity in the 80s, into the 90s with Beausoleil. I know some of these people. I've met them, and a good friend of mine from way, way long time ago, guitar player in Lafayette, he played with Steve Riley in the Mamou Playboys for years. He still may play with them, for all I know. I didn't ask him last time I talked to him. He may have said he was. I forget. That's how much I really, am that interested in Cajun music, which I'm not. Zydeco, I don't particularly have any use for. It's too weird. But Cajun can get kind of interesting melodic, especially the older and older stuff. But I like the other stuff. There's a lot of it to be had. I'm glad I can read music. I'll say that, because it's a good way to source fiddle tunes. Just read them off the page. After a while, you get it so you don't need to read it because you've internalized it. And then you start messing with it because you want to kind of make it your own, You give it your own little setting, your own little different things. And that's the fun part. That's often known as the hidden note. When you see different fiddlers playing the same tune, and they're called different settings of the tune. And there's one guy plays the Salamanca reel one way, and so the guy plays the Salamanca reel the other way, and then you start hearing where they're doing little things that are different. You're going, yeah, that's pretty neat. I like that. Then you start doing it yourself. You put your own magic in it. So, yeah, it's always, and then another neat thing about the fiddle is it's small, it's light, it's easy to take somewhere. You ain't got to haul guitars and amps, and which is fun in itself. I'm not knocking it. I'm just, it's different is what it is. It ain't better or worse. It's different. And I can dig it. Take your fiddle with you. No, in Ireland, of course, it was such a culture that it was an incredibly musical culture. I would say it still is. But back in the 1700s and 1800s, when a lot of what we know today as Irish music came along, And very little of it is real ancient. Most of it's coming from that era. Maybe from older forms of different songs, but they were changed and turned into this or that, and then we know them by one or the other. But people would go around, and they were, if there wasn't a lot to do besides subsistence, which was, you know, farming maybe, which was terribly hard work at times. You wanted to live, you had to work for it. And then at nighttime, you know, people sit around the huge kitchen. And then they started trading stories and songs and tunes. And then tables and chairs would be moved, make a big space, a big area for the dancers. Sometimes a fiddler had to stand up, because space was at a premium. But it was just part of the culture. That's what went on. And in Canada, which also has a very rich fiddling tradition, not just Cape Breton Island, which is where the Scots went to find their lost music, which is what happened. The Scots looked at the Irish and said, damn, man, these people got all this music and they're playing and having fun, you know, and in the revival around, you know, in the mid-1900s or whatever. What about ours? And, you know, he's some collections like Marshall, William Marshall, or Neil Gow and all this, but a lot of those Scots were sent off to Nova Scotia. They were sent off to Cape Breton Island. That's where they had to go to find it. And that's where all the good players were, there. And then there's that, and then there's just the cross into Ontario and the Ottawa Valley. That's a really great tradition, is the Ottawa Valley. That's more Irish. But they had these things called kitchen junkets. And a kitchen junket is essentially a kitchen dance. Same thing. And this is really cool, and it works good. So where do you put the fiddler? Well, you put a stool in the sink and you sit him on the stool in the sink. It's beautiful. It works good. And I bet the porcelain iron of the sink is going to help the acoustics of that fiddle really go around the room, too. I bet. Yeah, Gear Jammer, that's the Cliffs of Moher. That's in Clare. I took a bus from Kilrush to Galway. And what the bus just did is a matter of course, he's going to stop at the Cliffs of Moher. So we stopped, we got out, and man, those things are 700 feet straight down in spaces. Like something just broke off. That don't look like no normal shoreline to me. There's something huge, something awful happened. You'll see more of that evidence up at the Aran Islands a little further north to the west near Galway City. Oh, not, you know, maybe 40 miles from there. Had some chick, she was playing a cello. So I listened to her and I talked to her. Gave her maybe a pound for a tip. I think I left my fiddle on the bus, and the guy locked the bus, and so it wasn't much I could do. Then we got back on the bus, and we rode it to Galway, where I found a B&B, and then I rented a car. And by that time, I was in County Galway, which has its own sort of a sub-tradition, and no doubt very close to the Sligo. Sligo is so dominant, tradition-wise, because of the great coverage that Michael Coleman, James Morrison, and Paddy Caloran gave it. If you listen to some of those records from the, or if they were recuts, because they're probably, it might have been wax cylinders at the time, but then as the, you know, turntable technology grew, and so it came on the 78s and things like that, and you listen to some of those, the fiddling is amazing. What's tragic is I don't know who, some idiot producer decided, well, we got to round this sound out a little more. We got to get it to be a little broader, a little more content. Let's put a piano in it. Barf. That's awful. And not only that, some of the piano stuff is just really done poorly, number one. Number two, it doesn't even sound like it's in tune. So if you can tune that out and just listen to the fiddle, that's what you should do. Probably there are some recordings where the piano has been really minimized for just that reason. In fact, I have it's Seamus Connolly. He's a brilliant fiddler from Clare. He was born in 1944. He's still around, I think. It's like 89 right now. He won All-Ireland 10 times in a row. So, he's a good fiddler. But and I have it's a cassette of his, I think, before I started getting CDs. And he's got that damn piano in it, too. I don't understand why. I think it just ruins it. It gives the worst kind of feeling to the music. It's just totally away from anything that I would consider Gaelic. At least the Chieftains came along and they did it right. They were using Irish pipes and the Bowron, which is the drum, and fiddles and flutes and stuff. Now, there you go. Here we have something that is far, far more authentic when it comes to what the ancient music may have sounded like. And harps also. They'll use a harp. Harp, pipes, flutes, fiddles, drums. Yeah, there you go. The fiddle didn't get into Ireland as such. The modern fiddle, which is, by the way, is a bowed lute, technically. It didn't get into Ireland until about 1750 or maybe a little earlier. Roughly the same time it got into Scotland, I guess. Before that, they were bowing things. And there was earlier fiddle-type instruments like the pocket, the rebec. They've been the same thing, different names for the same thing. Like a small fiddle with three strings played with a short bow. So it's like a fiddle without the low string, the G string. So they have a D, an A, and an E. Where you can get most stuff done on those three strings. So it's not like the fiddle, you know, was just cast out of Zeus's forehead. It had antecedents. But in the modern, more modern form, because the earlier fiddles were what we would call Baroque fiddles now, and then a lot of them had the necks reset and set in a stronger way. This is in Europe. I've read a lot of violin history. But a lot, they take the old Strads and the old Garneries, and they would just take that old neck right off, saw it off, do whatever you had to do to remove it. Then they would remove the peg box, too, because when they set the new neck on, they would graft the old peg box onto that new neck. So at least, you know, you would be that authentic. The peg box and the actual body of the fiddle are the same. It's just the neck is new. And they did that to give it a greater angle because the strings, even though they were mostly gut, were pulling more tension. And it made them more brilliant and gave them more volume. But you needed a stronger instrument to handle that. And no doubt, there was some of that that went on in Ireland, or Ireland, you know, would have reaped the results of what was done. Maybe they had some of the older Baroque style that were softer, and the neck was flatter on it. It didn't rise up off the body the way it does on a modern fiddle. And then you would have mostly the modern instrument. And it would be strung with gut, because steel strings didn't come until later. gut, by the way, is not cat gut. It's kit gut. Comes from sheep's intestines. That's what they make it. And the area, the surface of the intestine is triple. There's an inner layer lining, there's a middle, there's an outer. They use the middle to make the gut strings. And it's a whole science to it. They know how to do it. Even so, they'll still break. You know, when you're trying to put one on, it'll break. You've got to be careful. And then they'll take and some, a couple of the strings will be plain gut. No wrapping on them. It's just the size. How thin it is. And I've actually played a plain gut string. And I loved it. It was amazing. I think it was an A string. Fabulous string. And then the two lower strings, or at least the very lowest in the earlier days, they would wind that one with some kind of steel or whatever they had. So they would extrude the metal and then wrap it around the gut. So, you know, this is an old technique, and they perfected it in Italy and in Germany and in France. This is where the great violin makers lived and worked. Paris, Meercourt, which is over towards the Alsace-Lorraine area. All over Germany, Mittenwald, other places in Germany. That's the only name that comes to mind right now. And then, of course, in Italy, in Brescia, and the main place, can't even think of the name, but it's all in northern Italy, pretty much on the River Po, the Po River. Is where you find these towns where the violin making centers were. And they're still there, and they're still making them. Amati, Steiner. Steiner was almost, I think he was in Switzerland. He was so far north in Italy. He was up in the mountains. And his violins had this really big belly. It rose up, which gave him a kind of a fluty sound. And then Amati came along. I forget his first name. He made some nice fiddles. And there were many, many makers. I'm just thinking of some of the main ones that come to my mind right now. Then Guarneri, Andrea Guarneri. Yeah, my fiddle is a Guarneri body. It's a Guarneri copy or a Guarneri pattern, we call it. If you see a cheap fiddle and it says Stradivari inside it, it means it's built on a Stradivarius pattern. It's not a real Stradivarius, like idiots think. People just need to learn, that's all. But anyway, you had Amati, then you had Guarneri. And Guarneri, his fiddles, every fiddle has a rise. It's got an arch. It has to, because an arch cannot collapse. Arches don't collapse. It's impossible. And with all the tension and pressure of the strings and the bridge and everything, you need that strength. You can't have a flat top on a fiddle. Wouldn't last very long. And then after Stradivari came along after that, and others came along after him, the line has just been unbroken and endless, and great instruments all over the world. And it'd be nice to look into something half decent for a second fiddle. This fiddle I have here, back in 1995, I paid $1,900 for it. Which isn't bad. It's kind of a high-end student fiddle as its class. But it's just a violin. But it's a decent fiddle, and it's got a lot of power, a lot of volume. And I've had it 28 years now. So if I found one for, you can pick up, if you're careful, even you, little student outfits and things. I have my eye on a couple. You can get something that's pretty decent, because the requirements for fiddling are not the same, not to say are any less, but are not the same as the requirements for violining. And so you don't need to pay so much or to feel you have something so much better because you did pay more, because that's actually, in many cases, what's happening. You think it's good because you paid a lot. Whether it's any better than the other one that doesn't cost as much, it's to be seen. No? So. Then, thinking about bows, too. Grab them while you can. Pernambuco is your good wood for a bow. Pernambuco. Pernambuco. And buco means ox in Italian, but I don't know what pernum means. Anyway, that is the wood that is the best wood to use for bows. Comes from Brazil. Of course, you know, Brazil was known. By the time the 1500s rolled around, it was being settled and everything. So when the grand age of violin building started in through the 1600s and the 17th, well, you know, Brazil was right there, and so was all the wood you needed to make the bows. And Brazil wood is another bow wood, which is actually part of the Pernambuco tree, but it's not the heartwood that's used when you want to call it Pernambuco. And these are the nice bows. And you can pick them up for a couple hundred or and then up, and I mean up, 10 grand, 15 grand. You want a good bow? Hey. Has to do with the weight and the balance and everything. I mean, there's just so many little things about it that cannot be weighed. They cannot be measured. They can only be felt when you use it, when you play it. That's what a bow is. So I got my good bow back in like 1998. It's made in France. And I paid like $400 for it, something. It's about $500, $550 now. You can still get them. And this is kind of funny. Because I've played this bow for years. I ain't never had it rehaired. That's a huge no-no. You should get your bow rehaired every like 5 years, maybe. No, I ain't never had this bow rehaired. It's still, I mean, I would if I could find someone. As in the, I know this guy in Arneville, about, I don't know, 60 miles from here, who can rehair it for $66, but I don't trust my car to get there and back. Tires. Car be okay. Not so sure about the tires. It's okay around town. I don't care. But anyway, so I gotten another Pernambuco about 8-9 years ago. I forget what I paid for it. It's not as expensive as my good one, but it's a R.A. Meinel bow, M-E-I-N-E-L. It's Pernambuco. What they didn't say. I got it. It's an octagonal stick. I prefer a round stick. And my good bow is a round stick. But then the other type of stick that you get is a carved octagon. It's an octagonal rather than round stick as it travels down the distance. No big deal, kind of. I don't know. My good bow feels better, but maybe just because it's slightly higher quality. I don't know about that. This bow, though, is a tad heavier. I don't like that. I don't know what the weight is. It's a couple grams heavier, but you can tell. When it comes down to a gram's worth of difference in a bow, you can notice it. You'll know what is heavier, what is lighter, and how it tends to perform and respond and react. All these ways I'm forever trying to figure out how to hold my bow correctly. I know essentially how you're supposed to hold it, but then not all Irish fiddlers do that. And your old-time fiddlers really hold it almost halfway up. No, they're not quite that far. Maybe a third of the way up the stick. Call it choking up the stick, you know. But it's really good because you're close to the balance point of the stick, and that works real well. If you get too far back, it starts feeling like a wrench. Huh. Thanks, Gear Jammer. I appreciate that. Yeah, it starts feeling very heavy, and you do want the weight on the strings at times, depending upon what you're doing. Sometimes you want to dig in, sometimes you don't. But there's just something, if you move up just a little tiny bit, there's this one sweet spot that I tend to hold it that works well for me. But it's not what you'd call a concert boho, but a lighter bow is going to make a difference when you're doing that. Not that that makes any difference when it comes to how I hold a bow, but it will make a difference. So, hey, Noreen, how you doing? So, I'm sorry, Deacon. I had no idea, but I bet that is the reason this wasn't working. So now I know I cannot use the right-hand input on my interface to try and go to Skype because it won't go to Skype. It was going fine to Studio One. I've been using this mic to record the fiddle instead of my ribbon mics just because I like to try different things, and this being my good condenser, it does do a good job, I have to admit. Condensers are far, far more sensitive. They pick up a lot more. And either a very sensitive mic or like a ribbon, something that you got to gain the hell out of it and still not going to hear everything, that kind of mic, they both have their advantages. You just do what, you know, you see what works and you use it. But I'm sorry, Deacon. I didn't know. Now I know. But I tried to call you back. At least I left him a note. I left him a message. Yeah. You got to use your left-hand input. That's the weirdest thing. That's the first time I ever ran into this. Now, to be sure, I have never used any but the left-hand input, so I didn't know. But then I started using the right-hand input for the condenser because I still had the ribbon plugged into the left-hand input before I unplugged it and was left with only one mic, now using the right-hand input. So that's the whole story. Just the facts. Nothing more, nothing less. So I got these strings. When I buy strings, because I've gone back to using synthetic strings on my two lower strings, synthetic cores, not steel cores. They seem to, they're far richer in their response. They're very gut-like. And depending upon how much you pay, it'll be more or less that way. But I've got a couple. I've been meaning to get these for a long time. And I finally got a pair of them. Because I always use the same A. I'm like a Russian fiddler. Russian fiddlers use a steel A, as well as, of course, a steel E. Because I want my break from synthetic to steel to happen at that string and not finally at the E string. That's too abrupt in the wrong place. According to them, and I agree with them. But anyway, so I ordered this pair, this G and this D string, made by Perastro. They're made in Germany. Italian name, but they're made in Germany. Great strings. They make some excellent gut strings. My God. And it's top of the line. You know, world-class stuff. All the great violinists use them. And they use other brands, but Perastro is well represented. And there's kind of like their high-end pair of synthetics. Well, they may have a little higher now, but at least they were and have been way up there. And that's the Obligatos. And I got a pair of Obligatos. And you got to put those on, and then it takes a day or two for them to really stretch out so you don't have to keep tuning it up and more and more and more. And then the next thing you know, you got to pull your bridge back because the string you're tuning is pulling the bridge forward and all that good rot. But anyway, I ordered the aluminum wrapped D. This is where I made a slight mistake. Oh, I'll keep it. It's okay. But So I get them on. But what I notice about the aluminum wrap, and this is like a lot of the older synthetic strings where you had a silver wrap G and an aluminum wrap D, the D string is bigger than the G string. Well, that shouldn't be. The biggest string should be the G string, then the D string should be a little thinner, then the A string thinner still, and then the E string very skinny. And it just feels too weird. It feels too strange because I've been too many years playing strings that don't do that. So I took them off and put a pair of Corelli Cantigas on, which are French strings, which are very nice, not as expensive. And I'm going to order a silver wrapped D on Wednesday. And then when I get it, I'll put it and the G back on so that they can sort of break in together. I didn't, you know, just want to keep them on and then get the new one and then change the D when I got it. I figured it'd be better to do it that way. So that's what I'm doing. All this, not like you're interested, but the little things that you put up with when you play music, you know. And remember, this is Revolution Radio, and we're entirely user-supported, and I implore you to keep us that way. Well, we would never be anything but the fact is that if we couldn't be user-supported, we wouldn't be here. That's what I'm trying to stave off. As we approach our 13th year, in just almost 2 months, one day shy of 2 months, we're going to turn 13. The magic number, 13. Yeah. As we tripped the light fantastic through our 12th year, and we're doing okay, but we could be doing better, so please, please give. If you're in the sound of my voice, give $5 a month. Nothing's free. We won't charge you, but if all of a sudden we're not here, it's because nothing was free. And also know that we are here because others did give something, which is what we need you to do also. So please do that. And next week, be back, same time, same place, and Deacon will be here, and then we'll do our regular thing. And we talk about modern music. And see, to me, it's all music. It doesn't matter if I'm playing violin in an orchestra, if I'm playing Irish fiddle, if I'm playing heavy metal. It's all music. And that's where the joy is. That's where the magic is. And that's why I do it. That's the reward. It's the reward in itself. If you wind up making money over it or not, hey, fine. But it's just the doing it. That's the joy of it. And that's the real lesson in life, too, as I preach to you here. Do what you love to do and see that, like the little birds, they find their food. You'll find yours. People are too effing worried about everything. Especially these days. Good God. People need to chill, man. Need to lighten up. Wait, that's for my Thursday show. I can't go there. So we're going to have Halloween tomorrow. Freezer treat. Trick or freeze. Right? All right, temp's going down. What I got right now? Let's see. Damn. 52 and dropping. Going to 46 and coming up to 61. And then I got a couple nights in the 30s. Wednesday night, Thursday night. Then we start a slow warm up. But hey, it's the season. Kiss the season. So we have trick or treat tomorrow where I make sure that no one comes here. I might give them, you know, if someone came with a bag, I got some cat food I can give them. That'd work. And then next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving. And we'll be on our back all afternoon, full of that turkey juice that knocks you out. And then it'll be Christmas and New Year. Well, it looks like we're trying to go to war in the Middle East. Good God. Wait, nope. That's Thursday. But we can get something lighter-hearted next week. Well, we try to keep it lighthearted. Love listening to Ola England from Sweden. Or Rick Beato. Or different little vignettes on amps. It'd be very nice to use that video room, but until that room can be made so that it will sync with Skype, so that if Deacon is playing a video in it that has audio, that audio has to go over to Skype also. That's what's not happening. So that means no one hears anything that we're doing except when we talk. They don't hear anything of the video we're playing. And that can't work. You know? And my little kitties are going to be cold tonight. The outside kitties. I got my inside kitties in. At least one of them stays out, except I bring him in at night. But I got two or three others, and I think they might be young enough to where this is new for them. I think it's brother and sister. The little black male I've been feeding, there's this pretty little black female coming around. And I swear that has to be his sister. And she's just gorgeous. What a sweetheart. And then there's this black and white one who's a bit of a weirdo, but I feed that one too. I'm not sure if it's male or female. You've got to catch him where you can go around back and have a look. The little black one, who I think is Singer's sister, I call her Sing Sis. She's kind of long-haired, whereas a Singer's not. But they keep warm. They have thick coats, and they have a high body temperature. And with a full coat of fur, you're just keeping all that body heat right close to you. You're your own heater. And the fur just keeps it in close to your skin. That's why animals don't get cold. I guess it works that way with Bigfoot, too. Even though his hair seems to be a bit sparser, but a creature that big, the power and the vitality, I'm sure, is not bothered at all by a few degrees of temperature. So if you stuck around, thanks for listening to me. I'm sorry we got off such a ragged start, but I'm glad I figured it out. Yeah, I had this funny hunch. I said, watch, I bet this works. Hey, and I was right. Not to toot my horn, but I was right, because I remembered, hey, wait, left input. Sometimes it defaults to that. That's what it was. So, I got my heater pumping. Guess y'all do too, as we got this northern stuff coming down. Boy, they got all sorts of warnings on my phone now. Low humidity, fire alert. Oh God, they're thinking of more things to worry about that I never ever saw all my life. I'll see y'all later. Be well. Take care. Fat Rabbit, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.